Welcome along to the show. It's the end of the week and it's time to kind of wrap up a little bit on what we call not suitable for broadcast. And I'm joined by my regular co-hosty, AJ Walsh, my former producer. She still kind of loves me. Kind of, you know.
Hey, Niall, how are you?
Yeah, AJ, see, look, I even got your name on the screen again. I forgot to do it last week and you never even told me.
I forget every week. I forgot. I've stopped reminding you.
I know you don't really care whether your name is up in lights or not, really. Have you? Okay, so you're back in Ireland this week.
Yeah.
Okay, and enjoying it? No?
Yeah, it's actually really nice to be back. Yeah, no, the weather is just fab. It's so lovely. So everything, I think Ireland is the most beautiful country when the sun shines. Honestly, it's stunning.
It's green. So nice. Yeah. Well, that's why the tourists come here. That's why the Americans come here. They just love the green scenery.
They love it. Yeah, they do. But you can imagine coming over here from like Dallas or something like that, Dallas, Texas, and to come here and it's like all the old buildings and the churches and everything like that. I mean, it must
castles. I remember years ago talking to a guy I knew in America, and I was on the phone to him. And he was asking me about some place. I was in Swords at the time. And I said, hold on, I'll just find it for you now, because it was on FaceTime to him. I said, it's just up past, Swords Castle here. He went, you got a fucking castle in your town? And he just couldn't believe there was a castle in the middle of the town. I went, yeah, there, look. And he's going, oh, my God. Because they don't have any castles. None.
No, sure. It's only like 100 years old. It's mad. And also like just little squiggly streets and little bends and turns and everything. Because over there, it's just grids everywhere. And everything is just, know what I mean?
That's because America's kind of planned, wasn't it? you know?
Yeah, exactly. And ours is just, organically grown. And it just absolutely blows their mind. But yes, no, it is. It's fabulous being back. Beaches are stunning. There's so much going for Ireland. There really is, really is.
Are you worried about climate change? Okay, now let's move on to the first topic. All right, we mentioned that for the last three times at the start of the show. I thought it'd be wrong not to mention it again. but by the way, because I did have a bit of a beef at RTE again. Sorry, so I probably need to do this. Yeah, so RTE the Journal. So the Journal ran this article about the good weather. There's good weather tomorrow. We're going to reach temperatures of probably over the mid-20s. And, which is, and they had in brackets, not unusual at the moment, in a kind of scary writing, like as if this is some sort of anomaly or some sort of weirdness, right? And I'm not dealing with this. So I went on to Grok, went on to ChatGPT, got up all the graphs, told it to make me a graph of the average temperature once it's over 25 degrees. How many days of sunshine over 25 degrees have we had in the last four decades? It turns out, by the way, in the 70s, in the 90s was actually 1995 was the highest amount of sunshine we had over 25 degrees. So we had like 20 something days over 25 degrees. Now, we could beat that this year. It's possible. But this idea that this is some sort of weirdness, it happened in the 70s, happened in the 80s, happened in the 90s, happens all the time. It's not unusual. Yeah.
It does happen. It does. Absolutely. And I remember having amazing summers. I mean, don't get me wrong. Worst summers as well, where you feel like you haven't seen the sunshine in years. But there's been fabulous summers, and it does happen every so often. And I just feel like this summer is really lovely, and next summer will be shite.
2018 was the last good summer we got. We've had a couple of summers, by the way, where there was, and I'm looking back, and it was weird, where there were no days in the whole year over 25 degrees. We've had a few years where there was not one single day over 25 degrees. Bizarre.
Yeah, and do you remember, it was like, I remember this feeling of, I have to go away, and I'm there trying to go on a holiday to just get away. Some sunshine. Jesus, thought I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah, last year wasn't great. I think we had a couple of weeks and that was about it. And then every day you were waking up and it was miserable. And it was raining and horrible. Anyway,
it wasn't great.
Getting back to the news, of course, one of the big stories, I suppose it happened kind of last weekend, we were dealing with it all week, was this new government's national strategy for women and girls, which kind of reignited the debate over the traditional gender roles, marriage, motherhood, and the so-called trad wife, which in America I think is probably called the Stepford wife, isn't it? Critics argue that the state is no longer simply promoting choice, but increasingly favouring careers and paid employment over traditional family life. So they're kind of painting the trad wife, which is the stay-at-home mum, as something negative, something bad, and girls get out there, get a job. Of course, the government would want that because more taxpayers. But is it really a bad thing, somebody stays at home and doesn't work and looks after the kid, because that is work in itself, and looks after the kids? Is that a bad thing?
So it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. It's just that society doesn't actually really accommodate it. So it is a bad thing because, for example, I left my career to raise my kids. So I have 10 years where I have just this block, this gap in my career. I have a gap in sort of anything on paper that I've done, you know, because the system isn't set up to accommodate somebody to do that. So it's taken me a good few years of working my arse off to try to scrabble back some sort of a career, because I actually thought that's it. I thought I'm out of the workforce and there's nothing I can do. All I can do is go
But
and do
it's
something
but it's not
manual job.
but it's not society's fault that you have a womb and I don't. It's just
No,
nature, you know what I mean?
but I do think that there needs to be the society needs to accommodate that, and it's not a case where
But
you can
how
just say, well.
far do you how far sorry for interrupting, but how far can you go to accommodate it? We have really good maternity leave. You know, they even give leave now, you know, if you're unwell during your periods, you can get leave. I'm sure you can get consideration, compassionate leave. We've leave for all, we've paternity leave, we have what's the other one? There's another leave that you get as well that women can take, parents can take.
Parental leave.
Parental leave. You know, I mean, we've really made headway in relation to accommodating as much as you can, but there's a limit to what you can accommodate. An employer has to obviously make sure you're there for the job you're paid to do. So there's a limit to how far you can accommodate. We have to accept at
Absolutely.
some point that women are disadvantaged in the fact that they're the only ones that can have babies.
Oh, and yes, absolutely. I take that on board. And yes, they are definitely putting things in place, but I'm just saying that was needed. They have needed to do that. I think that as well, it's like, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, did women start wanting the career first, or is it because they were told to want the career? Do you get what I'm saying? I think
I
there
think they
was an
were
awakening.
told. I think that's got a social con. There's a social conditioning too. It's
I
part
don't
of
know.
us.
I don't know. I think that there was just this thing of like, actually, hold on a second. I don't want to give up my career. I don't want to do this. I want
But
to
that's not
continue on
true.
what I
That's
want
not
to
true.
have.
There was a survey back in 2020. David Quinn put it up online, and there was also a survey put up by Sullis in 2017. I know you hate me mentioning that particular survey. I think I mentioned it before when you gave out about me. But there's been numerous surveys in the last 10 years asking women, if you had the opportunity and you were given the same amount of money, would you stay at home and raise your kids? They'd much prefer to do that. So this idea that women want to work, you know, that the vast majority of women want to work and leave their kids in a crèche is completely untrue. It's a myth. It's not true at
Yeah,
all.
I definitely think once women have their children, they don't want to put their children into a crèche. But it's just about finding a balance, really. You know, I certainly didn't want to send my kids to crèche. I made the decision not to do that and to stay at home. But it's definitely I've definitely struggled since then. I found it really, really difficult afterwards, to try
But
and get my son.
isn't that the sacrifice? Sorry for interrupting you, but isn't that the sacrifice?
Yes,
Isn't it?
absolutely. It is the sacrifice, but it's frustrating that the man didn't have to make as
But
much
well, he
of a
doesn't
sacrifice.
have. Well, if he had the womb, I'm sure he'd have to do it. Otherwise, that'd be the end of mankind.
He would have to. And I do totally hear what you're saying. But also just talking about those surveys, I mean, you know yourself, a survey is a survey. It doesn't mean anything. We were just talking about that before we came on air, that you know, these things aren't necessarily accurate, you know.
No.
But yeah, I do agree. I do agree that maternal instinct kicks in once you have your kids and it's like, oh my God, I don't want someone else to raise them. But at the same time, that feeling, and I've had this conversation as well with other mums, that feeling of when you go back to work and you can actually sit down and eat lunch by yourself, you can actually, you know, do stuff for yourself, because being a stay-at-home mom is the
Oh, it is
hardest
a,
thing.
it's it is a it is a really tiring job. Absolutely.
It
But
is.
particularly in your case where you have four. You know, one you can deal with, two not too bad, three you're now committing suicide. Four, you're over the edge. So no, I mean, I understand it. I mean, it's a difficult, difficult job, and nobody, I don't think anybody would suggest otherwise. But what I think we're doing is we're doing more damage to the declining birth rate. And this is what David Quinn was very concerned about when I talked to him last week. Because if we constantly encourage women, you know, into careers, and we're not encouraging them to have a choice, we're encouraging them into careers. What will happen is that birth rate will continue to decline. And we've got to look at this from a very serious point of view, right? People talk about climate change, and yeah, the climate is changing. And yeah, it could become a huge problem in a couple of million years or a couple of 100,000 years where it's too warm for anybody to live in it, right? And we'd all die. But a much more pressing issue is the birth rate. And nobody's talking about it because it's
I'm not
not
talking about
cool
it.
to talk about.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's almost just we will talk about what they want to have talk spoken about, because the way it is as well is people can't survive now on a single income. So that's the other thing as well. There is no option but for the man and the woman, if they have kids, to both be working. There's no other option. There's literally no other option. You can't go out and buy a house by yourself. You know,
No,
you want to be able
unless you're somebody on very good money on a single income.
Yeah, it's just not possible. So you are right in what you're saying, and I do agree with what you're saying, that yes, the idea of the traditional wife, it's just being pushed out, and you know, it's not.
If we talk about the declining birth rate or the traditional wife, we're accused of being anti-woman. That's why the conversation won't happen. And just very quickly, in relation to the mathematics of this, so the birth rate on average in the world 50 years ago was 5 children. The birth rate globally now at the moment is 2.5 children 50 years later. If that decline, and the only reason, by the way, it's still at 2.5 and not below replacement level generally in the world's population, is because in the continent of Africa they're having more children than we are. That's keeping it slightly above replacement level, which means what we're going to see is we're going to see a peak in the world's population probably in the next year. It'll go from, at the moment it's 8 billion, it'll go up to about 8.2, 8.3. Then it's going to stop. It's going to start moving back down again. And if we continue the pattern for the last 50 years, the birth rate will be at zero in another, whatever, 3,300 something years, I think it is. But before we even get to that point, if we even get halfway to that point, it's going to cause a huge economic problem in the world. There'll be not enough people to work. And by the way, that might suit the world, because obviously AI is going to take an awful lot of jobs and all that kind of stuff, so it may suit the world, I don't know. But we will have extinction, if it continues the way it is, and I hate to scare people, within about 4,000 years. That's not far away.
What's the answer then, Niall?
To the answer, look, the answer is anti-women, unfortunately. The answer is to encourage women to stay at home and have more children. The answer is to encourage women to have children at an earlier age, to start, have your first child at 23, which the way it was going back about 30 or 40 years ago. Not to wait till you're 33 to have your first child, because then it's probably too late to have the second. So that's the answer.
So what would you say then would be a good sort of to map out your future? Let's say you're 20 years of age and you want to try and map it out, because this is what a lot of women are doing. And they're like, well, no, I want to sort of buy a house. I want to sort of have my career. I want to get this done. I want to get that done.
Then I want
kids.
You can't do all of those things. You can't do all those things.
But you can. You can do all of these things. But I just think that you will need to map it out differently. So you'd like to have your kids earlier, and then sort of do your career after that. And then do you buy your house after that? Like what way around? This is what I'm just trying to.
I would promote the idea of leaving, of a woman leaving college. See, that's the other thing. If you go back 40 years ago, women didn't go to college, neither did men, by the way. Most of us didn't go to college. We went straight to work after the age of 18. Women were normally pregnant by 21 because they were married by the age of 20. So it was all very different, right?
So you're only leaving university now at 21.
Yeah. So I would encourage women, as soon as they leave university, if they're in a relationship, obviously, to have their first child and get that out of the way. Then you can then start your career. I know that's really unfair and it seems very anti-women. But again, as I said, it's not men's fault that they don't have wombs. If men had wombs, they would have to do the same thing. In other words, that women have to make this sacrifice. And it is a sacrifice. You're sacrificing, you know, your passions and what you want to do in your life, because it's your job to have children, because we can't have them. And if you don't accept that job and that responsibility, generally across the world, I don't mean each individual woman, it's the end of civilization. That's it. It's over.
I think as well that there's always this sort of preconception that, oh, your life is over once you have kids. It's like, oh, no, I want to do all of this because I want to get this out of the way before I have kids. I can't go traveling because I have kids. I can't do this because I have kids. Mm. I think maybe sort of freeing it up and being actually like, well, you know, you can continue to live your life once you have kids. Do you think maybe that we've gone so child-centered that you feel like you have to give absolutely everything up because you have to completely focus on your kids? Is it not a case where you can actually continue to do what you want to do and have kids at the same time? Do we need more of a village around? Do we need more people to help out? Is this what we need?
I think there's a selfishness. I think there's a selfishness in society nowadays. Men and women, by the way. I think they're focused more on their own lives and not wanting to give something of themselves to the next generation. Because that's, of course, what you have to do. Because having a child is a very selfless act, because you are giving up part of your life for that child. Your money, as well, your finances, part of your finances, your time, which is the most valuable thing you have. You're giving up 80% of it, 90% of it to that child. So it's a huge selfless act to have a child. And I think nowadays, this generation are just too selfish to have children. I think that's the problem. And I said that about men and women. Anyway, look, I don't think that's going to be solved overnight, but the government need to stop promoting a career as the only choice and stop, this idea of denigrating the traditional wife. There's nothing wrong with a traditional wife. I know people immediately think of the Stepford wife with the bow in her hair. That's a bit outdated, maybe. Anyway, one of the other topics we talked about during the week, by the way, was the revenue now are cracking down, as if they were never cracking down. They're cracking down on things like, hairdressers, vape shops, takeaways that are only taking cash. And so far, they've amassed 10.5 million in the last 18 months. And they're also saying, by the way, a lot of that's thanks to the public tipping them off. Now, that caught my aerial up immediately. What a great topic for the show. Snitching on people not paying tax.
Would you dog
no. a barber? No, yeah. I wouldn't. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's a bit unfair if you've got one builder quoting a price for $5,000 for half an extension and another builder saying $10,000 because we have to pay tax, we're charging VAT, and we're giving you an invoice where the other lad is doing it for cash and paying all his employee cash. It's a bit unfair. It's not a fair competition. But would I dob somebody in? Of course not.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
No.
And I don't want to get into it. I don't want to live in a society where people are dobbing each other in constantly, unless, of course, it's a serious criminal offence, where people are dobbing each other in all the time. It's not a good society to be in. We shouldn't be in a situation. Cormac Lucy was on me, and he said, was actually on talking to me about this. Actually, it could have been Cormac. He said, if we had a fairer tax system, actually, no, it was Eddie Punch from Cork was on me. He said, if we had a fairer tax system, people wouldn't mind paying it. You know what I mean? And those on a really low income should be kept outside of the tax net. There's too many people in the tax net and too many people onto the higher rate of tax, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you do a bit of overtime and you're screwed. So people do overtime for cash, you know?
Yeah, it's not worth it. I've been in that position. Absolutely been in that position. I do think I have friends that cut hair and you can go and just see them and get your highlights done and you're getting it done cheap and all. And I'd hate to lose that. You know, it's just... Eighth rates and, doing things for cash. I just think it's the backbone of society.
It is. It's worth 3 billion. They reckon about 3 billion. The black economy is worth about 3 billion a year.
I always regretted not doing something like hands-on, like hairdressing or something like that. So I had the ability to just be able to make some extra cash. Because like you say, you go and do some extra hours and you're getting taxed to the, to the hills. It's absolutely just not worth it. There is definitely something to be said for if the tax system was fairer, there wouldn't be as much of a need. But I mean, if you have the opportunity to take cash and not pay tax on it, I don't see why, massive.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out it's illegal, by the way. But here's the thing. That's going to get more difficult for people, particularly your hairdresser, who does your hair. Because as we move on now, we're seeing less and less cash in society and it's all kind of Revolut and Mondo or whatever it is you're using. So, your hairdresser say, "No, I have no cash. Oh, just Revolut it to me." That's a problem for your hairdresser because if she ever gets audited, they'll look at her bank accounts and they'll see her Revolut account. Because Revolut are now a bank, just like any other bank. They can be checked and they're under the banking regulations. So if you're taking money through Revolut, if your gardener's taking money through Revolut, which they all are nowadays, they're going to get caught. It's going to be a problem. But you imagine like the fella doing your grass for 20 quid or cleaning your windows, right? And you say to him at the end of it, "Yeah, that's grand. I'll Revolut you that money. Can you send me on an invoice, please?"
That's what I'm talking about. It is just like if they have the opportunity to just take the cash for 20 quid for doing your garden, then it's just that's what I can remember ever paying for things like that, with cash and not you know what I mean.
Best friend in the whole world, Donald Trump, by the way, has addressed this quite well. Actually, what he's doing currently at the moment, I think he's trying to get it through Congress, is tax-free overtime. And he's already taken the tax off tips.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be taxed on tips. It's ridiculous. No. It's a gift.
No, you're not taxed on tips here.
What?
You're not taxed on tips
here. Yes, you are.
Are you? Oh.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? Nobody really pays tax on tips. That's the deal, right? But
I've never made it.
But you're meant to. So, like, if you're a hairdresser and you're doing someone's hair for, you know, 100 quid and they're giving you 30 quid tip, you're meant to declare that as a part of your earnings by law.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't because they get it in cash.
Hmm. I didn't know that. Now, I mean, I haven't worked in the hospitality industry in a very long time.
So you're covering your arse there, aren't you? What happened? It was me. Sorry, yeah, no, my name is Lorraine. It's not AJ. AJ is my stage name.
I did not know you had to pay taxes.
I have to go. I'll be back. Yeah, no, tips are taxable. By under the law, yeah, everywhere. By the way, they're taxable. You're supposed to. You're meant to declare them. Now, by the way, nobody does. I have never heard of somebody, you know, going, "Hello, yes, hi, revenue commissioners. Yeah, I got 40 quid last week in tips. Where can I send your cut of it?" Nobody does that. Like, and I don't think the revenue really expect people to do it, even though it is the law, right? I think it's only if you're taking the piss they probably go after you. But they are clamping down on the hairdresser who's doing the nixers, you know, charging 60, 70 quid and making maybe 600-700 quid a week, you know, doing, you know, after she's finished work or doing nighttime nixers, the Chinese takeaways or your local Italian chipper, whatever it is, that has a sign up at the counter saying cash only. You know what they're up to. They're not paying tax.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many of them doing it now, you know, so they've clamped down anyway and all of that. So the bottom line is you wouldn't snitch anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Because they do have a hotline, yeah, and they have a website, www.snitchesgetstitches.com. You're not going to even snitch, are you? It kind of reminds me of this one. Blood is thicker than water was a topic that we did during the week, and should family loyalty have limits? Now, I suppose that the analogy I used was, if your son, let's say your youngest fellow or your oldest fellow was a bit older, right? He's kind of 19. And he came home and said, Mom, I'm in real trouble. I'm at the boxing the head off a fella outside a nightclub. Oh, he was asking for it. Like, he kept hassling me all night. He was intimidating me. And I gave him a punch and he was out cold. He had to call the ambulance. I'm at the running. Oh, the cops are on the way. Don't tell them where I'm going, right? I'm going to go down to, I'll get my suitcase now. I'm going to go down to Auntie Mary's house in Ireland, because I know you're living in the UK. In Ireland. Don't say anything. And then the cops come to the door. And I'm AJ Walsh. Yeah, we're looking for your son. Okay. Are you dabbing him in?
Oh, I don't know. See, that's a really tough one. Like, there's definitely...
Jeez, you don't pay tax and tips. Now you won't even dab your son in.
Oh, stop. I don't get tips. Just put that out there. I don't get tips. But when I did, I had no idea he had to pay tax on them. But what was I going to say? Yeah, like, I mean, I was looking at, you know, the Chris Watts story, the American... The murderer in America, he killed his wife and two kids, and his wife was pregnant. And his mum is standing by him through thick and thin.
Wow.
Visiting in prison.
How?
I know. And this is what I mean. There's ends of the scale for this. And of course, you know, always, you'd always look out for your family. You'd always look out for your kids. But I mean, there's definitely a line. Everybody's line will be different, but there's definitely a line. And I mean, this story,
serial killing is kind of the line, isn't it? I'd imagine.
I definitely draw the line there somewhere.
Yeah.
Before that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this story, and I've heard phone transcripts before where she's like, she was talking to, his name is Chris Watts. I don't know if I just said that. Sorry.
You did, yeah.
And she was talking to him on the phone and saying, "Oh, it's like it was the daughter's birthday, who he had murdered." And she's like, "Oh, and I bet she's in heaven and she's having a night." And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? This man killed your grandchild. And yeah, she's standing by her son. And it's just like,
oh God.
Obviously, this is way beyond anything that we could think about. But like, there's definitely lines. This is crazy. But yeah, I mean, if I had to support my son for some misdemeanor or something like that, like, of course I would, or, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't lie. Definitely wouldn't lie.
But would you tell the cops when they come to the door that he's inside in the house there? Or maybe he's gone to his auntie in Ireland. Would you tell the cops? Yeah, I'm sorry, he's gone to his aunt.
I probably would. I don't know. I mean, it is a really difficult one. But yeah, I mean, like I say, there's a line.
Is blood thicker than water? I mean, do you give your family a free pass that your friends wouldn't get? You know, if they owed you money, if they pissed you off or turned their back on you or went behind your back and did something. Do your family get a free pass where your friends obviously don't?
I don't know. I mean, I'd definitely be more lenient and patient with my family. I'd forgive them for more than my friends. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I, by the way, in relation to that guy who killed his wife and daughter, I mean, it's bizarre, the mind of a serial killer or somebody who killed a lot of people. There was, I remember Richard Pryor was interviewed years ago about the movie Stir Crazy, where they filmed it in a penitentiary.
Yeah.
And he said, while we were filming, he said, we got to meet a lot of the prisoners on death row. And he said, there was one guy called Bubba. And he said, Bubba had killed his whole family. It was like, I think three kids and two adults or something, a grandparent and his wife or something like that. He killed them all anyway, right? In the house. And like Richard, I said, talk to me. He's like, a really nice guy. And he said, but I said to him, why did you kill your whole family? And he said, they were all home. What an answer. Because we were all home. And it was just, they were all there at the time. It seemed convenient. You know what I mean? And that was the answer he gave. That's the mind of a psychopath. They were there, so I might as well kill them.
Yeah, psychopath or sociopath or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. By the way, we started talking about tourism during the week as well. I was talking to Paul Trevaux about, you know, the tourism, because there was a whole argument during the week because the OECD put out a figure that Ireland's tourism was 32% down. The Journal did a fact check. Mind you, somebody should be fact checking the Journal sometimes. Anyway, they did a fact check and said that wasn't true. And they asked the OECD to remove it. So the OECD now have a Department of Tourism in Ireland, got them to remove it. And because the figures are measured differently or something like that. I don't know. But the Journal went on defending it, saying, oh, but should the airport is busy and hotel occupancy is up by a certain average amount. Well, of course it is, because it's all being used by iPass centres now at the moment. And those hotel rooms that are left are obviously getting good occupancy. So that doesn't tell us the tourism is up. So anyway, the CEO, what's the CSO? They've established that tourism is down. Spend is down by 9%, 3% overall tourism. That's what they said. Could be more. It's hard to measure. And Paul said, I can tell you tourism is down because I live in a tourist town, so I know what it's like, you know. So the thing about it is, why do you think Ireland is suffering? Is the cost?
It's the cost. It is 100% the cost. Try and stay in a hotel anywhere in Ireland, it's extortionate. I actually just wouldn't do it. The last time I stayed in a hotel in Ireland was up in Dublin about 3 years ago, and it was so expensive. I felt like I was in, I don't know where I felt like I was. It was the Sweden or something, you know, because do you know how you used to always think about these countries and be like, oh my God, they're so expensive. Ireland is as bad. It's as bad. It's more expensive to stay in a hotel here, I think, than London even at the moment. And especially at this time of year, I wouldn't even.
I looked while I was talking to Paul Trevaux. I said, Paul, I'm going to look on booking.com now. I said, for tonight in Killarney. I said, is there anything special on in Killarney? And he went, well, not tonight. No, his book fair is coming up soon, but no, not tonight. And I said, right, I'll have a look now. This is midweek in Killarney. I won't mention the name of the hotel. Nice hotel. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a nice hotel. It wouldn't be like the Ritz now or the, you know, the Waldorf Astoria or like that. 3,500 for one night.
Oh my God.
I said, Paul, I could buy part of the hotel for that. 3,500 Yeah. The average price, now that was just the extreme, right? For most of them, it was around 340 to 390 for a night. I said, no one to know what he wants to go to Killarney. It's a ripoff.
I was trying to go over to Achill Island with the kids at one point, maybe about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And yeah, I was looking at £700 for two nights.
That's crazy.
It was not a very nice place. It was like...
Yeah, I know. And some of these places I was looking at for 340, you wouldn't swing a cat in it, like.
No, I know. Or like even places that are kind of like hostels now. I mean, I remember years and years ago, you could stay somewhere. We used to go surfing and it'd be like £30 each a night. And now you'd be looking at the same place. You'd be looking at a couple of hundred a night.
That's mental. So you reckon it's the price that's putting people off?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's nothing else unless, I don't know.
So who do we blame for that then? Is just the hotels gouging?
I do think there's a lot of gouging going on. I really do think there's a lot of gouging. I really do. Genuinely.
Are the restaurants and bars taking the piss as well? Or do you think Paul's argument was, look, we have a lot of costs to cover, you know, things have got more expensive.
I do think things for them it's so expensive at the moment. It's very expensive to go out to eat out over here. Very expensive. The shopping's expensive. The hotels are unobtainable.
Okay, you're living in London now. Is it cheaper to eat out in where are you, Wexford? Is it cheaper to eat out there or in London?
I mean, it's not cheap to eat out in London either. So, no, I think there's more options over here. But no, it's more expensive to eat out over here. More expensive to eat out over here. And it's more, the shopping is more expensive here. Like if you want to just pop to the supermarket or whatever, it's more expensive here.
Is it noticeably more expensive, or is it just certain items, certain things?
No, it's noticeably. Yeah, it's across the board. It's more expensive. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
well. That, so we're not gonna. I mean, it's no wonder young people want to leave the country. You can't buy a house, and then when you do have your house, you get ripped off everything you want to put in it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, the tourists don't want to come anymore anyway.
Yeah.
One of the other ones, Gavin Pepper was on during the week talking to us about protecting his home. He said if somebody came into his home, they weren't going out standing up. They were going out in a box. So
Yeah.
the law currently in Ireland was changed after the Patrick Nally case. I think it was 2016. Patrick Nally, of course, the farmer who shot Froggy Ward. The argument at the time was Froggy Ward had been making his life a misery, had broken into his house a couple of times. And on this occasion, when he came down the stairs, Patrick Nally had a shotgun. Froggy Ward was running out the door and he shot him in the back. That was why he went to jail, because he shot him in the back. Froggy Ward wasn't
Yeah.
armed. We had another
Yeah.
case of a young lad, Dean something, I can't remember. Again, burglar came into the house, went to attack his mother in her bedroom. The kid is 17, took a knife out of the kitchen and stabbed the burglar to death. Again, he went to jail because the judge said the burglar was unarmed. Now, I think the guy's a hero, personally. But anyway, the burglar's unarmed. We have in our law, it says you can only use reasonable force. Now, it says reasonable force because they changed the law after Patrick Nally to say which can include death, but that's only if it's in self-defense. So if somebody's pointing a gun at you, you're allowed to shoot them, right?
Yeah.
But in America, they have a thing called Castle Doctrine in parts of America where, or certain states, where you're allowed to use deadly force if somebody's on your property. So in other words, if I see you on my property and you're not invited, I can shoot you dead. Do you believe you should be allowed to kill somebody if they're on your property?
No,
Breaking
I
in.
don't. No, I agree with the reasonable force, and I agree with not. That's why that happened, where when he stabbed your man to death, that's too much of a punishment for someone breaking into your home. Whereas you can stop them by stabbing them, let's say, by
I'd
the
have stabbed
leg or
him. I
like
come
that.
on. You've seconds to
Yeah.
think about it. You know what I mean?
No, not stabbing to death. No, and it was, if it's multiple stab wounds, multiple times, then no. No, I don't agree with that. I do agree with reasonable force.
So you arrive down the stairs. You hear a burglar and you have a knife, and you arrive down the stairs, and he's standing with his back to you because you want to sneak up on him with your knife, and you're going to say to yourself in your own head in that moment, split second moment, right? I'll try and stab him in the leg here, but maybe I better not be careful not to hit the curtain or
Maybe
the artery just in case he bleeds out or something. You know
But
what I
that's no,
mean?
that's being pedantic. That's being pedantic. What I'm saying
No,
is I'm not going to go and stab him multiple times. Do you
I
know?
would, I would. Yeah,
I
I mean,
wouldn't.
you know what always gets me? You know these horror movies where the baddie, right, and they punch the baddie and the baddie falls down and then
And
they
they
go,
leave him there.
and they're walking away and you're looking, you're going, but kill him. He's going to get back up again. And that's what I'd be thinking if the burglar's in the house. He's going to get back up. The baseball bat won't stop until he's not moving anymore.
But if they're unarmed, I don't know. I don't know. But there has to be a line drawn somewhere. You can't just go around killing people, I don't think, just because they've entered your home. Yes, some states in America say that, but I don't agree.
So okay, so you I hope it never happens to you. So you're upstairs in the house. You live in a two-story house.
Yeah.
Okay, upstairs, kids are upstairs, hubby's upstairs. All of a sudden, you hear noises downstairs. Two voices, two
No, I'm sending
burglars.
him down.
What?
I'm
Sending him
sending
down.
him down.
What's that all about? I thought you women were great. Okay, why are you sending him down?
Because I'm too scared, probably. No, I'd send
Why?
him
Why?
down.
He won't be.
Would Karen not send you down?
Well, she would, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was sent to look at the sink one day because there was a bat in it. I'll never forget.
Oh, God. You need to be careful of bats, rabies.
No, there was a. All I heard was this screaming. It was in the ensuite in the bedroom. And she'd gone in to wash her hands or something, and all I just heard was this screaming. And she ran out. Well, there's a bat in the sink, and I thought,
Oh
oh,
my God.
she's seeing things. There could be a bat in the sink. Sure enough, there was a bat in the sink.
What did you do? Did you stab
I felt
it?
so sorry for the bat. So I got a plastic bag, right? Used it like a glove, put it over the
Yeah.
bat, and scooped him up into the bag, brought him out the back garden, put him on the grass, gave him his freedom, right? Went
Yeah.
into work. This got about 7 years ago. I was on the air on the radio during the day. I went into work and I was telling Helene, the producer at the time, and she went, "That's mad. Let's get a bat expert on to talk about it." So we got a bat expert on to talk about it, and I was telling him all the story. He says, "Where did you leave him?" I said, "On the grass." Gave him his freedom. And
Yeah.
he said he's most likely dead now. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "You know they can't fly." off the ground, like. I went, what? Oh. So, like, they can't just run and flap their wings and take off like a bird. And he went, no. He said, if you ever find a bat, leave it up at a height. Put it up on top of the shed. Put it somewhere high on top of a fence. Because they can't actually fly from the ground. I didn't know this. So I said, where is it? Well, he said, probably a gang of rats mugged him at this stage. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he died. So, yeah. So it seemed, and the other thing as well is, and a mate of mine was getting an extension built years and years ago. And the builder gave him a ring and said, you need to come over here immediately. We have a problem. And he said, right, what's the problem? He says, bat's nest. And he goes, okay. He said, well, we have to stop working. I said, what do you mean? He said, we have to call the council. He said, they're protected. He said, can you not just move it? Like, he says, no, I can't touch it. And that held up the work for months, I believe. Months. Because of a bat's nest.
Can they move them? Because, it's like...
They have to wait till the end of the breeding season or something like that before they can move it.
Yeah.
Whatever season it's in. So they're not allowed
to move them then. Because I've heard of places not being able to be demolished because there's bats living there. So there's been, you know, houses just sat there because there's bats living there.
Because they're protected species. Little bats. Anyway, so what were we talking about, by the way? Where do we get out to bats?
Going downstairs on ice.
Oh, the burglar. The burglar. Yeah, I'm going downstairs like Gavin Pepper. He's not leaving the place if I can help it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I would hope that they would leave without my intervention. That would be the safest option.
But most likely, if you were coming down the stairs and they heard you coming down the stairs, they would leave because they're just there to rob stuff.
I do understand the Froggy Ward situation. He was on the way out the door and he shot him.
Yeah.
But one caller to the show the other day did say, I don't care if he's in the front garden, I'm beating him to death. I went, okay. Fair enough.
I don't agree with
that. Anyway, the hate speech laws are back in the news again. Whether you know it or not. And now this is coming from Europe, this, by the way, at an EU level. These are the kind of proposals that were previously dropped by the government. There's a renewed pressure at the EU level for tougher rules around hate speech and hate crimes. There was also, by the way, the one Ebun Joseph, the special rapporteur the government had paid. Insufferable. Anyway, she put a report out about she wants to give an amnesty to all Romas in Ireland and also to enhance our speech laws to, you know, make sure people don't say racist and horrible things and discriminatory things. The speech laws that we currently have at the moment, I mean, look, we already have incitement to violence laws. We already have laws around crime and hate crimes. But the hate speech part is the difficult one. Do you agree with hate speech laws?
Yeah, this is the thing. Because like you say, there's already things in place in terms of inciting violence and stuff. And I kind of feel like that's enough. In terms of hate speech, that's where it just goes so murky. And I don't know. I don't know. I just think that it can take away your rights and your ability to be able to say anything. And it's just like you say with, you know, trying to inclusivity and all of that, it just makes things way too murky. What do you think?
I'm not going to say horrible racist things, but if I want to say horrible racist things, I should be allowed to say it. And by the way, I then have to take personal responsibility for saying that. So people will judge me. I could lose you. You could lose your job. Whatever. They'll judge you because of that. So and the same when it goes online. So I believe people should be allowed to say whatever they want, as long as they don't obviously encourage violence or encourage, you know, to hurt somebody or do some damage.
That's already in place.
It's already covered in law. Yeah, I mean, there are horrible, horrible people online saying horrible, horrible things, but I don't believe there should be a law against saying horrible things. Because where do we go from that then? Saying like thought police. Do we make, I mean, look, they want to make lying illegal now as well, because that's misinformation or disinformation is lying, essentially. So they want to make that illegal too. To misinform somebody. I mean, how far do we want to go? These things were always covered in the United States under a law called moral turpitude. But it wasn't actually a law. It was just, if you ever filled out your ESTA form, there used to be a question, I think it's gone now, and it used to say, have you ever committed an act of moral turpitude? And have you ever committed an act of moral turpitude?
Oh yeah, most likely.
So that's, have you ever owed somebody money? Have you ever had an affair? Things that are considered morally wrong, but not illegal. Not illegal. Yeah. Now, there's lots of things morally wrong, but should never be illegal. And racism is one of them. I mean, don't get me wrong, racists are to be despised, but it shouldn't be illegal to be a racist. You know, because they have an opinion. It's not a nice opinion. It's not a popular opinion, but it's still an opinion nonetheless, right? Yeah. You know, being rude.
There's side effects to you having that opinion anyway. If you hear somebody and they're spouting racist speak, you are automatically going to be like, oh, you know, but it doesn't need to be illegal. You're not going to ring the guards.
No.
You know,
I mean, you
would like shun them, of course, and like you wouldn't, you know, want to associate with them. So that's because it's morally not right, not because it's illegal.
Yeah. Offending people should never be illegal. You know what I mean? Saying hurty words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if offending people was illegal, you know, I'd have been in jail years ago. Because I'm sure I've done it on many occasions, but sometimes you have to offend people to get to the truth or to get to the bottom of an argument. You know, you need to be straight talking and offensive every now and again. And you're always, no matter what, I mean, I'm pretty sure throughout this, there's certain individuals who hear this particular podcast would find certain parts of it a little bit offensive. I might be a bit hurt by it. I'm not sorry. That's just the way it works. And then I might be hurt by something they say or offend. But actually, no, I wouldn't. I'm not offended by anything, really.
No, you're not.
No. No, I mean, but we have no right. We don't have a right not to be offended. That's life. You know, sticks and stones, break your bones, names will never hurt you. And I think we go down a treacherous road if we start even suggesting that we would have speech laws. And look what happened in the UK. The police are too busy now arresting people for things they put up online. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that, what's her name? Lucy Connolly, or is that her name? Yeah, she was jailed for what? She got a 2-year sentence. Now she got released quicker than that, I think, in the end. But 2-year sentence. Now, it wasn't nice what she put up. By her own admission, she said that herself. But she took it down a few hours later. It was in relation to the riots that time in Britain after the Southport killings. I can't remember the exact wording of what she said. It was about a hotel burning down. Now, she didn't burn the hotel down, or she didn't tell people to burn any hotel down or anything like that. Yeah. But it's just her comments, you know, weren't very nice around it. You shouldn't be jailed for that. That's ridiculous. That's it. We're going down a ridiculous route. It's like authoritarianism to be jailing. If people make comments about Muslims, you shouldn't be jailed for that. That's just your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. You might be wrong and it might be apparent, but it's just your opinion.
And opinions can change as well. You know, it's not like, you know, you haven't acted on it. You've just got an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I was wanted to talk about clampers because for something a little bit lighter, the Apopka, parking enforcement. I think that's in Florida, actually. Apcoa, is it? I think they're in Florida.
Apcoa.
Yeah.
Apcoa?
Look at you. No, these are in Dublin. Sorry, I do apologise. Oh, this is the company that run the parking, the clamping. Sorry.
Yeah, one company clamped the other, isn't it?
Look at you. You actually read the notes. Sorry, I'm looking over that way because I can see on the other screen too. You read the notes.
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, then you read it out. I'll fire away. I'll leave it to you then. Go on.
No, I can't find it now.
Ah, so there you go. Okay. I'll read it out. Okay. The Apcoa parking enforcement van was itself clamped after being left beneath a no parking sign in Dublin Store Street. Even better, the clamp was eventually removed by a parking enforcement van operated by Q-Park, the rival. Now, Q-Park, of course, are the ones that do the private car parks, like the shopping centres and everything else, where Apcoa are the ones that do Dublin City Council, isn't it, the clamping. So the two firms, are already fighting over Dublin City's lucrative £51 million parking enforcement contract. You genuinely couldn't script. Now, here's the thing, right? I spoke to Larissa Nolan. Oh, Larissa Nolan, go on, ask me. Who's Larissa Nolan?
Who's it? Wow.
Who's, who's Larissa Nolan? Okay, Larissa was filling in for AJ while she was away on holidays, and anyway, but she had a whole theory about this thing, right? Seemingly, Ireland is one of the only countries that still has clamping. Do they have clamping in the UK? Oh, no, I don't mean in car parks because obviously they're private clampers.
They definitely have it in the UK. They definitely
street clamping.
Oh, now that you mention it, do they have the? Oh, I'll have to look into that because actually they mightn't. Have it on the street. You definitely get tickets. I mean, you get tickets.
Tickets. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
But maybe you're right. Maybe they don't do clamps anymore.
According to Larissa, it's gone everywhere in the EU apart from Ireland. At the moment, there's a big high court case over who's getting the tender for it. It's on hold at the moment because I don't know what's going on, right? But the tender is worth millions because there's massive money to be made in it. But it achieves nothing. So a car is illegally parked. Allegedly, it's in the way.
Yeah. And then you're stuck there
because you clamp it.
Yeah. Oh, it's the most frustrating thing in the world, honestly. Yeah.
And it's also dangerous, too.
It's very dangerous. And you're leaving someone stranded there then. It's horrendous. Like, it really is. I feel like it actually is an infringement on your human rights. I think it's horrendous. Yes, you get a ticket, whatever, and you pay a fine. But that's crazy. Crazy then.
Yeah. I don't believe they have the right to do it. And by the way, some of the damage they do sometimes to cars. I was watching years and years ago. The guards, some guy had parked outside the GPO, stupid place to park on O'Connell Street. This is when you could drive up and down O'Connell Street properly, and it wasn't just for taxis and buses, right? It was actually down before even the Lewis was there. But this guy parked, nice car, Mercedes, and I was over in a restaurant across the road looking out the window. And in those days, we didn't have video phones or anything like that, so I couldn't video it, obviously. But the guards arrived, because somebody obviously reported it, and with their, you know, the clamping truck, or not the clamping truck, the tow truck. They parked the tow truck in front of this lovely black Mercedes, put the chains onto it, and started winching it up the two ramps. They had the two ramps up onto the tow truck and started winching it. And halfway up, the car started to tilt, fell off one of the things, landed on the other ramp, and all of a sudden I seen the oil spilling out of the bottom of it. They damaged the engine casing. And then what they did was, I could see the two of them talking to each other, looking around, real shifty looking, right? And then they slowly just rolled the car back down onto the road, put the clamps back, the things, the ramps back up, and drove off. And just fucking left it there with a busted engine. So I said, check this. So I wrote a note on it explaining what had happened, what I seen, the reg of the tow truck, and I put it in his window under his wiper. But that's what they destroyed the car. Probably thousands of quid's worth of damage to the car.
Yeah, I think towing a car away, if it's in the way and it's obstructing, I think, yeah, fair enough, towing it, but not putting a clamp on it.
Well, look, don't get me wrong, he shouldn't have parked there. He was an asshole parking there in the first place. But didn't deserve that. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, I agree. I think clamping has to be outlawed completely. It has to be gone. It's a money-making racket. It achieves no purpose whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
I know.
Agreed.
Okay, did you watch the eclipse last night? I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did watch it. Yeah.
I couldn't actually see it. There was a bit of cloud in the sky, right?
I heard it was cloudy. Yeah.
So anyway, didn't get to see it. Anyway, but I did see it getting a bit duller. It wasn't that much duller. I'm not going to lie to you. It wasn't
weird
like Spain where
light.
I went. Yeah, kind of.
It was weird. Yeah. It was cool. Like, it was really cool. Where I am, we could see it really clearly. Like, really clearly. There was no clouds or anything like that. And it was really quite nice. Everybody was out the front and, you know, everyone chatting away. And we all had our stupid, like, the kids made things with cereal boxes so we could see the eclipse. And it was really, really good. It was nice.
Yeah. But here's the thing. In Bilbao, I seen a video this morning. They had a full eclipse.
And yeah, so, in Spain.
Yeah.
In Iceland as well.
Yeah, it went completely dark and you could see that whole, they call it the diamond ring, where the bit bright of the sun. Yeah. We kind of didn't get that here, right? That aspect of it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I know you're saying, no, you've always got a problem with everything. I thought it was a bit of an anticlimax.
I knew you were going to say that. It was an anticlimax. I mean, it's just what it is. I know.
You know? I'm there like expecting to go dark or something, you know what I mean?
No. I was like expecting this kind of like the end of the world kind of feeling, you know, apocalyptic. And it was just like, oh,
okay.
Because then it was like, now it's sort of coming over the other side now. We're done now, do you know? So yeah, and it was like, right, let's go inside now.
And the kids are looking at you going, is that it, Ma? Yeah, that's it.
Literally.
Yeah, because I was telling my stepdaughter, I said, like, this is, I was kind of getting excited for her. Like, this is really important. Like, we'll never see this again in our lifetime. You might see it again in about 70 years. You know what I mean? You can tell your grandkids, you know, you saw the last one 70 years ago, you know, with us. And she's going, okay. And we're looking and it's going, it's not really changed. It just isn't really happening. It really wasn't getting any darker. And I'm going, oh, okay. Yeah, because it was nice.
More coverage next time for Niall. More eclipse coverage next time for you. We'll have to bring you somewhere like Spain. But it's 41 years until the next one.
Yeah, but Karen was also telling me that at the same time, right, on the same day, there was a parade of the planets. Now, most people didn't talk about this aspect of it.
No, yeah, and there was a meteor shower as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was an awful lot going on. Anyway, but the six planets, Jupiter, Mercury, Mars, Uranus... We talked about that when myself and Karen talked about that on our show, our podcast, Uranus. I said I'd like to see Uranus at night. Saturn and Neptune all appeared seemingly in an arc across the sky. Wow. But I don't think you can, as I said to Karen, I don't think you can see. They'd be like little stars. They'd be tiny, wouldn't they?
Sometimes you can see, is it
Venus?
Jupiter or
not? No, Venus.
Venus, is it? Yes, yeah, yeah. You can see, like, it's to the right of the moon, kind of thing. But yeah, the rest of them I don't think you'd be able to see. You know, I mean, if you have a decent microscope, I was going to say now, telescope,
here's,
grand.
Here's another thing, by the way, that's only the young generation understand, and you won't. So, I've just named some of the planets there, right? Jupiter, Mercury, Mars, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune. Can you remember the two that come after Neptune?
Pluto. Or,
there you go. Say that to a kid nowadays, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Is that because it's not classified as a planet anymore?
It's not a planet. So there's a new planet. So yeah. After Saturn or after Neptune, I don't know who came up with the name for this planet, right? Make.
Never heard of that.
The kids know it. That's what they're learning in school. Make is M-A-K-E-M-A-K-E. Make.
Right.
Like, was that, I don't know, was that an alien that came up with that name? Make. I mean, where did they get the name Make?
I don't know. Maybe does it stand for something? I don't know. I'll ask my kids.
Yeah, they know, but Pluto's gone. They don't even talk about Pluto anymore. That's only a moon. It's only a dwarf moon or something now.
Yeah. Or.
It's been relegated as a planet.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's new rules around what a planet has to have, its own gravity and all this kind of carry on, and it doesn't fit in with the criteria.
Its own moon or
something like that. Yeah, Pluto's too small to even think about those things.
Yeah.
So it's well. So Make is the new planet.
Right. Okay. That's very.
Talk to you guys about Make. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, indeed. I'm going off now to report you for getting your tips. And can you calculate that over the last 25 years? By the way, can I just say to everybody who gets tips, don't ring up the Revenue Commissioner and tell them they don't really need to know. Even though they're meant to, they don't really need to know. They're not going to come looking for you. I made £5 last year in a tip. Do I owe the revenue 250 of that? Well, actually, it would be 2.30 if you're on 41 pence, 41 cent in the euro. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, AJ.
Thanks, Mal.
All right, we should talk to you again next week at the same time. Until then, enjoy weekend.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.